We'll call the meeting, the Super Board of Supervisors meeting to order at 8:46 on the clock for September 11th, 2019. Start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to start the meeting today on September 11th with a moment of silence in remembrance of the September 11th tragedy. The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance by observation: Juergens, Hill, Bauman, Thiemann, Dorn, Byers, and Lytle. First up, the consent agenda. General agenda: approve minutes of the meeting held August 28, 2019. Approve all claims through September 11, 2019 in the amount of $504,431.92, except claim number 19090128 to Hard Rock Quarries LLC in the amount of $9,138.72. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve district court summary fee report and register of deeds fee. Report for the month of August 2019. Approve utility permit number 1137. Steve Kanaki. We'll be trenching 6-inch wide by 5-foot below bottom of the ditch under B-line road for 66 feet to run a 110-volt electric line located in the northwest quarter section 13 and southwest quarter section 12, Township 2 North, Range 8 East, Island Grove. Approve chairman signing the cost allocation plan certification statement. Approve specifications and call for bids on 2019-2020 snow removal for the courthouse, sheriff, jail, veterans office, former bus stop location, and parking lots. Bids to be opened on October 9th, 2019 at 9:15 a.m.
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion?
Dorn seconded.
Vote. 7 in favor, motion carries. Regular agenda: approve or disapprove claim number 19090128 to Hard Rock Quarries LLC in the amount of $9,138.72. This brings the total amount of claims approved through September 11, 2019 to $513,570.64.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Juergens, second by Bauman. Any discussion? Vote. 6 in favor with Thiemann abstaining. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Seeing no comment. Committee reports: building and grounds, winter lights.
Dave Jones, Esquire.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Morning, Mr. Jones.
Good morning. I hope our snow removal bids, when they come in, I hope we have just a nice snow during Christmas time, and that hopefully will be it this year. We did go over our budget last year somewhat. We had so many heavy snows, so we'll see what this year brings. During our building and grounds committee reports, we did talk about the district court trial that was scheduled for a three-week trial. There's a continuance on that, and so I did talk to Greg Dennis, who's going to be doing stone repair right in that area of district court. As far as the washing and grouting, mortaring in there, that doesn't make noise, but when they do a repair, they have to actually grind that old stone out back about 3/4 of an inch. That does make noise, so we were trying to avoid any heavy traffic with the courts. He can come a little bit earlier. He said it would probably only be about a week earlier, so he's going to be starting about the last week in September, he said. The floor at the West Garage for the Sheriff's remodel was poured last Wednesday, and that looks really nice. It's a nice flat surface now. It did have a tapered floor for the floor drains when it was a garage, so now they can start closing in the south where the garage doors are. They'll enclose that, and they asked for us to pick a brick color. We do not. We're going to get it from Endicott. They don't have that exact brick color, so we'll go with a little bit of a contrasting color for that brick. We did talk a couple weeks ago about some bad spots of concrete coming up on the east side sidewalk. I recommended we wait until next spring to replace that with all the ice melt that we put down. That new concrete probably wouldn't hold up very good with that. And so I did do a repair on that, and it was on a real hot day, and those repairs just don't look very good. I'm going to try and repair them again with the vinyl patch repair this time, and hopefully we can get by until springtime with those. The breezeway door at the Sallyport completely conked out. Diode is coming to replace a lock set with a hardwired system. And Rosie and I ran the cable, so we have that all ready for them to install those. And last, I did not talk about it. I just was talking over at the detention center. They do have some issues with Northwest 6, the jail cell lights. We replaced Southwest 6 with all LEDs. We did that. They did them all at the same time, and they'll be doing that again. And it sounds like Northwest 6 has two cells that cover plates and lights are not worth saving anymore. So I'm going to get a bid on LED lights for that. So that's all I have.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Equalization.
Nothing.
Finance and insurance.
Nothing. Moving on.
No one, not nothing.
See how excited he got, though.
Never seen him move that far.
Donuts okay. And money.
Ticket item. City of Wymore, quarterly EMS, $10,000. Road. Beatrice Concrete, sand and gravel. Rock, gravel, ice, sand. $46,739.07. Manelli Wagner and Associates, Engineer Consulting, $13,239.34. Rock On Incorporated, Hauling Township Gravel, $16,252.24. And do you know, Galen, are the townships done for the first spring?
They're not done yet. They're
okay.
Running out of gravel.
They run out of gravel over there, too? I know rock's hard to find, too. If you don't have a loader.
Human resources, employee relations.
Nothing.
Law enforcement, emergency management.
Gus?
He's there.
She dropped some stuff off.
Okay. Good morning.
Morning, Sheriff.
Just a couple things I didn't get to talk to you about. And bring you an update on Monday because of the union talks, which I thought went fairly well. We had our jail inspection through the fire marshal's office. He's checking. He thinks he might have to sprinkle the boiler room and put a hood over the stove in the kitchen. These weren't issues before, so I don't know if it's just a new inspector or if things have changed, but he's going to get back to us and let us know on that for sure. I've been blessed with a couple inmates since last week that have some issues mentally, so they've caused some problems in jail. They've the one totally ripped out the toilet and sink combination around the concrete wall and ripped all the plumbing out. So I had plumber in over the weekend with me, and then he worked, had a couple guys working on it, I think Monday right away, and we got that kind of halfway back in shape. Then they flooded one other cell we moved into, and they took some electric wires they got next to and the breaker switches. So I've been dealing with those fun issues, but otherwise we're working through it. The K-9 update on how they're doing. He's halfway through the training now, and he's doing extremely well on his drug identifications. I saw that when we had the initial evaluation done on him, so he's doing super there. The problem he has, he doesn't like to give his reward toy back to the handler, so he's left a couple reminders on his arms not to take them away from him. Otherwise, he's doing very well, I guess, the way it sounds. So that's kind of about where it is for us right now.
I had somebody ask too, in the budget, it was brought up that we would not have a drug officer. I just wanted to clarify, we still have our same drug officer. It's just we didn't have
full-time
additional, or you know, an additional officer and a full-time, but we still do have our
He's
drug
trying
officer.
To, between that duty and road patrol, yeah, just like before.
You need any help with that?
No thanks.
I think one of the TV stations has been illustrating for, I'm not sure if it's Lincoln or Omaha, how valuable the drug dog is, and they've shown a big show on how it works, and so I think that's really important, yeah, because it reinforces what we're doing.
Well, it does, and if you have like an interstate, if you're blessed to be a county on the interstate, and they got a dog program that can get out there and work, they recover quite a bit of cash, and a lot of that comes back to the county to use for whatever they have to do to kind of offset some expenses. But we'll get back here and we'll hit it and see if we can get some things done. So
I'm sure those same counties will potentially say they're cursed with an interstate. Vehicle, so.
Sometimes they are. You're right. Thank you.
Thanks, Sheriff.
Yeah.
Did Lisa have anything, or just wants to look through this?
We wanted to talk about we're going to be closing early on this day of this training.
The courthouse will be closed from 4 to 5 on Wednesday, September 18th for employee training, cybersecurity awareness. It'll be put on by NERMA. So September 18th from 4 to 5, the courthouse will be closed. Road and Bridge.
Well, today I don't have a whole lot because my secretary did a poor job printing for me. So, you know, everything's going as usual. We do have a resolution coming up on some projects we're done. I'll talk about that at that time then.
Okay. Anything else for Road and Bridge other than the poor notes that were taken? Yes, we will. We have a timed event at 9:30. We will skip ahead to Tim McDermott on the NERMA board for a NERMA update. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
Wonderful, and yourself?
Good. I haven't seen you in a while.
It's been a while.
Yeah. We were both on the SEND board of directors there for a while.
Well, Nelson called me and told me you were working once in a while.
Once in a while,
yeah. But not all the time.
Not all the time, no. But today I represent the NERMA Board of Directors. I'm a new board member. There are 5 brand spanking new board members on NERMA. So we've gotten together, not just us 5, but as a board of directors, and we've kind of run a little SWOT exercise during one of our board meetings to try to determine what gaps we have as a NERMA organization, how we can fill those gaps. One of which is the fact that NERMA, while a great organization, they're financially sound. In fact, we have almost $60 million in total assets. There's about $37 million in liquid assets at the ready to serve our NERMA members at any given time. I think the missing component we felt was the fact that we're not felt to be local. NERMA's not felt to be local. We're not the coffee shop insurance salesman that you go down and have coffee and have a quick conversation. So that's kind of a tough deal. But the only thing we could do is to ensure the fact that we go out and kind of divide and conquer and go out to various member organizations like Gage County and just have a brief conversation, say hello, ask if NERMA can do anything for you, if you've got any questions, you want us to put anything on our board agenda that we need to talk about, things that concern you, things that interest you, additional coverages or concerns with coverages that we already have, that sort of thing. So, and Mr. Byers, I know you've got a long history in state government, leading back almost to the time that LB 398 was passed in 1987. So I don't know if you were in the legislature in 87 or not, but
it was 2 years ahead of me.
2 years ahead of you, okay.
Right.
But because of that act,
I was on NACO at that time.
Oh, you were? Okay, so then you're very familiar with the Intergovernmental Risk Management Pool, at the act itself, which allowed county governments to be self-insured and pool their resources together. And that kind of took place over a period of a short period of time. I think there were 60 different meetings throughout the state with various counties to talk about this and how they can pool their resources. And finally, you know, the state legislature acted, probably as a result of counties' ability to work together and create something.
Well, Jack Mills traveled all over the state to talk to so many people to tell them the story about what NERMA could do and what they are doing now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and unfortunately, we did lose Jack not long ago, too. So, but anyway, just some quick numbers for you. I know everyone likes numbers. But Gage County has been with NERMA for 22 years. Gage has acquired $172,000 in dividends to date. There'll be another $1 million provided again this year. As far as trainings and participation in various conferences, Gage County has 26 different individuals involved in regional seminars and conferences. 2,500 online courses have been utilized by typically your law enforcement folks. That's a big number. And then 47 elected officials or department heads have taken part in self-defense conferences in NERMA, of which, why I'm here too, is to remind you of the self-defense conference that's coming up in October. And if you haven't registered yet, I think the deadline is next Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken. So we invite you to take advantage of that. And it's in York, again, but oddly, because of the flooding in Kearney, it's in York this year. So, but other than that, the assist grants, I think Gage County has acquired about $16,000 in assist grants from NERMA. So that's really all I'm here to do, is just to say hello
Well, the amount of time your representatives, the Baxters, spend with the Sheriff's Department and working with Gage County is very, very important. And what you continue to do is important.
Yep. Well, as fellow members, you know, as belonging to Saline County, because I'm affiliated with Saline County most of all, but together as members, I think we all appreciate each other in that regard. So.
We appreciate what you're doing.
All right. Well, thank you, folks, for listening.
Thank you. It's good seeing you again.
All right. Thank you.
I saw Tom's out in the hallway.
He's in the bathroom.
Oh.
I'm waiting for you,
Bill. Grab him. We should be able to approve or disapprove resolution certifying the proper completion of project for structures number C00342720 and C00341435.
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
19-31.
Moved by Juergen, second by Hill, to approve resolution 19-31. Any discussion on this, Mr. Juergens?
These are two bridge match programs that we were awarded last year, I believe. They were completed. The completion date, it shows on the invoice here, is August 26, 2019. The first one was an N35 Liberty. Bid was $90,614.60, and the 55% the state will send us is $49,838.03. The second is E16 Island Grove. The bid was $123,590.69. The state will reimburse us $67,973.88 for a total reimbursement from the state for these two bridge match programs of $117,812.91.
And we have additional projects similar to this going forward as well, but there's $117,000 that through the bundling and packaging we've got back from the state.
And we've been lucky because we've been awarded some nice projects.
We really have.
Really lucky, I think. Galen, just off the top of your head, how many of these Bridge Match programs are ahead of us yet?
More to be let out.
No, that we have been awarded already.
Oh, well, we have the one on the Holmesville Blacktop to replace a truss bridge.
Right.
And the one over here on Hidden Acres, yep. The golf course on the west side, that bridge will be replaced with box culvert.
Yeah, that's what I thought. There were those two.
Seems like a lot of projects in the Bauman and Hills areas.
Yep.
I should start spreading that. Any further discussion? Ask you to vote. 7 in favor, motion carries. That'd be resolution 19-31. Next up, Tom Bliss, SEND Executive Director.
How are you today?
Wonderful. And yourself?
Doing well. Hey, come up here?
You bet.
Great. Thanks for putting me on your agenda. I appreciate it. It's been about a year, 2 years since I've been down, so I wanted to stop by and say hello and thank you and introduce some of our new staff as well. And they can speak for themselves in regards to their introductions, but come on up. Don't be afraid. Please join. So what I'd like to do is kind of give you an overview of what and who SEND is.
That's why Tom's getting stuff ready. He's had a lot of new faces and new ideas and new projects moving forward. Ones that pop up in my mind right away, there's been a lot of work down in like Blue Springs, Wymore area, and the projects just keep growing in number. And
yeah, so let's look at this one first. This is...
I think it'd be appropriate if you'd introduce your staff.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, I was going to let them kind of wrap up the conversation, but I will actually let them start.
Sure.
It's a good idea.
Hi, I'm Liz Cody.
Go up to the microphone, please.
Sure. Hi, I'm Liz Cody. I'm a community development specialist with SEND. So far in Gage County, I have had some discussions with Sheriff Gustafson earlier this year. We were working on a USDA RCDI grant that was hoping to provide coverage to communities throughout the area. That grant was not funded. However, it's a very competitive grant that's very difficult to get funded, so we've laid the groundwork to see if next year that could provide additional technical assistance to rural areas in building leadership capacities. So far, that and the CEC conference in Beatrice was a wonderful opportunity to come down to Gage County and get to see some people here. Thank you.
You'll get to know the sheriff really well if it involves spending money and trying to get some dollars in.
I'm Denny Mitchell. I'm also a community development specialist. I just started in June, so I'm still, you know, learning a lot of things. Haven't had much to do in Gage County yet, but I look forward to working with you guys in the future.
Thank you. Good idea. Okay, so let's take a look at this. So this is projects we've worked on in the past few years. One that we're still working on is the Wymore Street improvements, the Wymore owner-occupied housing. Those are projects that are currently going on in Wymore. I wrote the grant, and I can't remember, was it maybe G, E, and F streets down there being improved? They're adding, they're making improvements to sidewalks and ramps and things along those lines. The idea is to improve access to their downtown Main Street business district. And then the owner-occupied housing program, I'm not sure how familiar you guys are with that. If you're interested, I can provide additional information. But in a nutshell, it is a program that's 100% grant. It is federally funded, but it's a way to provide up to $25,000 of improvements to homes in communities where folks qualify for those dollars. It's a great program. It's a great way to maintain your housing inventory as well. The Rural Workforce Housing Program, that was a project that happened 2 years ago. It was LB 518. It was a pot of about $7 million that the state had. It's unusual in that Lincoln and Omaha are not eligible for this program. So we partnered with Beatrice, Fairbury, Auburn, Deschler, and Geneva to secure $1.6 million for rural workforce housing. I believe we've got one rural workforce housing project going on right now here in Beatrice, but if your community is interested, please give us a call. And the same goes with owner-occupied rehab as well. And then the Adams Park project. This is one that we are working with. We first started with a community needs survey to determine what exactly the community wanted and how they wanted to move forward. CCCFF, that is a program, once again, Lincoln and Omaha are not eligible for this, but it's a great program for community buildings. We've done these in Nebraska City, York. I think Beatrice has a few. But these are good programs for parks and things along those lines. So all in all, I think we've done projects here, but I'd like to do more. You mentioned the road projects. Something that you might consider is if you've got anything connected to industrial development, economic development, things along those lines. The county is eligible because you were named in the disaster declaration from earlier this year that you are eligible for EDA funds, and typically you're not. EDA is a subset of the Department of Commerce Economic Development Administration. They have an 80-20 grant right now. So we're pursuing these in Peru, in Jefferson County, in Saline County, in Crete specifically. But if you have road projects, let us know. Or if you have projects that you think might qualify for from an economic development standpoint, let us know. It has to be public infrastructure. What's also unusual is you can use the 20% match. Your state money can be used for that. So, for example, right now we're looking at Crete. They have a road that goes into, or a bridge that goes into their industrial park, and it routinely floods. We're trying to figure out a way to elevate that out of the floodplain so that it's just a more resilient corridor, transportation corridor. And they may not have to pay anything out of pocket for that, any local money out of pocket. So we're going to try to stack these funding levels as well as we can to try to fit them all together. And it's a little bit like a jigsaw puzzle that you don't quite know how the pieces fit together, but we will work with you to try to figure that out.
Question. Well, I have a question about it. What about an existing project or road that continues to flood out that's been identified, or does it have to be something new?
No, it can be anything. And what we're trying to do with, or what EDA is trying to do with these dollars is try to improve resiliency so that, you know, when the next flood occurs, because there will be a next flood.
Are there specific traffic counts and that has to be done? So it could be a rural, seldom-used road next to a river that continues between two townships that continues to flood out?
If you can show a priority from a local perspective, it may score well. I'll give you the example that we're doing in Jefferson County. Endicott Clay, they have a road that goes east out of Endicott next to, I think, the Little Blue, and that routinely floods. And as a result, the water gets over the road. Those heavy trucks tear up the streets and that road. And it's to the point where they lose product going from the plant to the highway. So we are working with them to where we'll just actually improve the road that goes west out of the plant. So it takes that road out of the floodplain, or it takes their primary route into and out of the plant, going east instead of going, or instead of going east, they'll go west. So hopefully that will address it. But something along those lines. If you can think in those terms of, if you've got a problem or a particular stretch of road or a particular bridge that routinely floods, we might be able to help with that. But these are big projects. I mean, the Denver Regional Office of EDA has $100 million. And I know Omaha will get some of that. I know Lincoln might get some of that. But I want as much of that in our district as we possibly can. So we'll work with you in whatever, on whatever idea you have, and to try to capture as much of that as we can get.
On housing, do you work with Blue Valley Community Action on housing? Because they provide a lot of housing for...
We do, yeah. We partnered with them on a couple different projects. We're actually talking to them right now. Can we go to this and just kind of lead into that?
Sure. I got ahead of you.
So the first column is our housing program and all the housing activities that we do. But owner-occupied rehab is one. Purchase, rehab, resale is another. Nuisance abatement is some of the other. Well, I'll just let you read those. But, along the lines of Blue Valley, you'll notice that last bullet point, the general contracting service. That's something, and for those of you that don't know, Eric is our vice chair of SEND. But the board allowed us to introduce a new service this year, which is general contracting services. The point of that is not to compete with local businesses. The point of that is if you get into these small towns, a lot of residents just can't find anyone to bid a project. If they want a roof done or siding or windows, you have a hard time finding someone that will, one, agree to it, and two, show up. So we're working with Blue Valley on that as well.
Good. If you drive through a lot of the small towns, as well as Beatrice and Gage County, you see a lot of homes in those communities that very obviously are occupied,
yeah,
but need work real, real badly.
Right. And that's something that we might look at next year in another housing trust fund application. We were just awarded, I know we were awarded Peru and Nebraska City as a result of disaster recovery, but I think we had four other housing grants funded this past year. You can do those. Housing Trust Fund, you can do those countywide, and that might make sense for Gage. I know Wymore will probably be reapplying next year. To your point, there are a lot of those small houses out there, or a lot of houses out there that are owner-occupied that could use $25,000 of improvements. And along those lines, I forgot to mention this, the general contracting, another reason we did that is when we serve as a general contractor, we usually save about $5,000 to $7,000 from what we have historically sent out or paid for general contracting services. We roll that money directly back into the house. So, on average, we're putting $5,000 to $7,000 more into a home, which is a new roof or a new HVAC system or new windows.
Which, along with that, too, with the general contracting, they aren't performing the work with their labor. They're subcontracting that work out, which, in essence, they were doing before anyway, but we were still paying someone else to do it. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's a nice savings where it goes directly back to SEND and the homeowner.
And we do put an emphasis on using local subcontractors. That is something that we try to do as much as possible.
It would sure be great to see a lot of those things that are needed in our small communities as well as Beatrice.
Yeah.
Anything that you can do to help would really be really great. I know the girls can do it. I doubt if you can, but the girls probably can handle that.
I'm sure they can.
I learned that a long time ago.
The next column is our community development, and that's just block grant writing. And you'll see a list of those in that handout that I provided of different projects that we can assist with. Business resiliency workshops, we've done a couple of those. We have a hard time finding an audience. Business owners are running a business during the day, so they may not have the time to participate in those types of activities, but we think it's still important to pursue. Revolving loan funds, We provide a couple of those. We have those in-house, and of course, Chairman Thiemann is on that revolving loan fund board, so he will be able to evaluate loan applications as they come in and award them. And it's the great part about it, it's a locally controlled revolving loan fund, so they establish their terms, they establish the rates, and on average, well, another qualifier, we do not compete with local banks, so we will partner with local banks. If a local bank wants the entire loan, we won't participate. If the local bank says, you know, this is a great project, but we don't feel comfortable, we'll provide 50% of the loan, we will come in at 50%. So we partner with, but we don't compete with local banks. But it is a great program for startups. But if you're interested, I forgot to bring our loan application or our pamphlet or handout for that. So, and then the last thing. So this is something that we just became certified in, and I would encourage you to look at this and pass this out to your constituents, particularly if you're in a an area that has a small school district, or if your constituents might be employed at the local hospital. But this is a program that's really designed for folks that may be recent college graduates, or maybe someone that works at Exmark, or someone that might be a new nurse at the hospital. But it's a program to be able to have them buy homes. And buying a home will establish roots in a community. If you want someone to stick around, have them buy a home. So this is a program through USDA. You'll see on the back, this is the maximum house they can buy. So they can qualify up to $251,000. And then you'll see on the front how much that person can make in order to qualify for this program. We have someone in the office. And the other thing real quick, it's 100% financing, which is great because you can avoid the PMI insurance. PMI usually takes, a couple hundred bucks a month out of, in addition to what you're paying for your mortgage and your escrow. That's money in your pocket, which means money in your pocket is probably being spent in your town. Otherwise, it's being carted off to, some firm that's probably on the East Coast or West Coast. So that is money that's leaving your town. You want this money to stay here. The other part is you can have terms up to 33%. As I said, no down payment, which is awesome because it puts money, once again, into maybe repairs or things along those lines.
And the reason you bring this up, I mean, we have some banks that do this, but the service you provide to these people.
We can provide this as well, yeah. So once again, if you've got a small school district or you represent a small school district, take these and hand them out to the superintendents or things along those lines. One of the things we hear again and again is there's turnover with teachers. They'll come in, they'll get 2 years of experience, 3 years of experience, and go on to Lincoln or Omaha or some other district. You want them here. You want them to stay here. You are making that investment in their experience, and there's no reason why you should be paying them to learn how to become a better teacher only to benefit Lincoln or Omaha. So please call if you have questions on that. I didn't bring a lot of these because I didn't think there'd be that much interest. But these are our annual review. These are last year's. Our fiscal year begins in July. So these are, our 2019 is being prepared. And this is a comprehensive economic development strategy. It's a 5-year economic development plan for our entire region. So I'll pass those out. And
I would think it'd be very good if you would talk to KWBE about possibly doing a program about this. I think it'd be excellent to have a public program that would be shared with all the people in our community.
Yeah, we'd be happy to do that.
Also on our exec board is Walker Zukowski with Engage, so we have some more local presence on this board. After the first year, on the SEND board, there were still, I still wondered, it's like, well, what all the SEND do? There are so many parts and pieces, and just these handouts alone, like this goes, this is probably as comprehensive of illustration of what SEND does as anything. I mean, it's not all inclusive, but it's hard to gather everything they do. But the owner-occupied housing, that's a big deal because we do have all these smaller communities. They're aging. They're not building new houses necessarily. Some of them are now. But to be able to keep those houses up, it seems like you don't have the drug houses. You don't have some of the other issues.
And it's interesting. You'll communities will learn the process. They'll understand that it's relatively painless. And they will use it again and again. Fairbury, I bet they've probably improved a third of their homes in the past 10 years. I mean, they just know how to use the program. And their city clerk knows how to fill out the forms. We do all the heavy lifting. But if you've got a community that qualifies, like Wymore, or Blue Springs, Adams makes too much money. I mean, from an income standpoint. Sorry, I'm guessing that's your district.
All knew that, but we didn't say anything.
But you know, there are other ways we can help your towns. So don't ever hesitate to call. We'll do our best to provide a response. And if you ever want us to come back, we'll have our housing guys come along and they can go into detail. But I appreciate your time. I know you're busy, so thank you very much. And happy birthday, Eric.
Thank you. Thanks for coming down. Feel free to talk to Doug Kennedy and Scott Kaversky with the radio and the newspaper, too, to get this out locally.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thanks, appreciate
Tom.
It.
Thanks, thank you for all you do. We appreciate it very much. Thank you.
We have a timed event at 9:30. We still have a couple of minutes.
I forgot about that.
It has to approve or disapprove the recommendation for special designated liquor license to the Brass Rail for the event held on September 21st, 2019 at Four Generations Barn. We have the consent of the Sheriff's Department on that. She was unable to attend due to a conflict.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Bauman. Any discussion? Vote. 7 in favor, motion carries. We have a couple minutes here prior to the public hearing. Anything anyone has, it'll be brought up later. You have a couple minutes. There's a sign-up sheet on the table if anyone wants to speak at the public hearing. I'm
sorry. For the, can I explain what the public hearing is?
The public hearing will be in support or opposition for the appointment of Ben Kitter, Robert Moran, Tabby Zarbanicki for a 6-year term on the Board of Trustees of the Hospital Authority Number 1. Their term would commence October 1st, 2019, and terminate on September 30th, 2025. It's 9:30 on the clock. I would ask for a motion to go into public hearing.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Lytle. Second by Bauman. Vote. 7 in favor. We are at public hearing at 9:30 on the clock. See if there's any.
There isn't.
There's no nobody. Oh,
let me look again.
Still nobody.
No, nobody.
All right. Is there any discussion from the board on this? All the all necessary paperwork is in place for these people. Like I say, this would be for the appointment of Ben Kidder, Bob Moran, Tammy Zabernicki for 6-year terms. No discussion. I'd ask to come out of public session or a public hearing.
Move to close.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Bauman. Vote. Public hearing closed at 9:31 on the clock. 7 in favor. Now we'll need a motion.
I would move to approve the appointment of Ben Kidder, Robert J. Moran, Tammy Zarmadecki for 6-year terms on the Board of Trustees of Hospital Authority Number 1, commencing October 1st, 2019, and terminating September 30th, 2025.
Second.
Moved by Byers, second by Bauman. Discussion. Vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Last on the agenda is discussion to approve or disapprove the resolution to impose a sales and use tax of 0.5% on all transactions in the county that are subject to the state sales and use tax, which tax shall cease after the qualified judgment has been paid in full or 7 years, whichever is earlier. And you have a copy of that resolution. Yes.
And it's 19-32.
Resolution number 19-32.
34.
It gives 32.
This, of course, is the sales and use tax we've been talking about for months that was introduced and passed by Senator Dorn.
I had a text from Senator Dorn. He wasn't able to come today. He just appreciated all the input at the public hearing from folks in regard to the bill, which he got passed this last session. So I just thought I'd pass that on for the record.
There's a lot of discussion on this. Will this tax be implemented and then be a continuing tax that never goes away? Through multiple discussions, as well as town hall meetings, discussions with the legislature and Senator Dorn, there are several safeguards here so that this tax, once implemented, if implemented, has multiple sunset clauses, one being 2027. There's a chance this judgment could be paid by then. There's also a chance it could not be paid at that time. But there are multiple sunset clauses in this bill if something like this is implemented. Is there any discussion from the board on this?
And certainly we had, you know, ample discussion at our town hall meeting. And one of the ones brought up that Nebraska has the 10th highest property tax and the 9th lowest sales tax. So they are out of balance, and this would help get the judgment paid and get it behind us.
And that's one of the things going back and forth, trying to find tools from the state that we can use, and also trying to balance things outside of purely property tax, where we're in that approximately 3/4 property tax funding this. So we have a little bit more, a broader window of taxpayers that will help with this on a sales tax. I think we go from a 26,000 person base to somewhere in the 40,000 population base, as well as that even doesn't really describe the whole story, landowners versus non-landowners. Is there anyone from...
Basically, it's just a
I guess we'll need a motion and a second on this.
Are you going to allow any public comment?
Probably not.
I see.
We already had a public hearing on it.
You had a public forum.
Comments from the public, and then also public hearing on this, or not public hearing on this, but town hall on this prior.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Ask for a motion.
I would need a motion and a second.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Jurgen, second by Bauman. Any additional discussion on this? Collections would start January 1st, 2020. Regardless of when this is voted on, that's when it would be. We had talked at one time about having a special meeting September 3rd, but it was decided by the board to wait until our regularly scheduled meeting. That wouldn't affect when the collections would start. They'd start January 1st, 2020, and they will end, irregardless of whether the judgment's paid or not, in 2027.
Proposed annual collections?
$1.3 million estimated collections from the sales tax.
I would think, unless the councilor tells us that we can't, that if the public has something to say, we give them the opportunity to do that. I know we've had public hearings.
It's up to the chairman. Yeah. It's up to the chair.
I think every time that the public wants to make comments, we need to let them have that opportunity.
Okay,
it's my personal opinion, and I'm in favor of this totally.
Okay. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak?
Yes.
Mr. Lobby? Please give your name and address.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Gregory C. Lobby, 312 North 10th, Wymore, Nebraska. I have some comments, and then I also have some questions that I have not heard answered either at the previous hearings or from the media. And so I would like to think that someone might address them before a vote is taken. In terms of comments, there's been much made about the provisions in the bill that would cause it to expire either when the judgment is paid or by 2027. But there's been no mention made of the fact that the legislature can amend the bill and cause a change in either the purpose of the collection of the tax or the duration of the tax, so that before the sales tax ends, it could change so that its purpose is to fund school buildings or jail and last as long as the cigarette tax has. Second, imposing this tax will not reduce Gage County property owners' property taxes as long as the judgment remains unpaid. It only means that property owners will have to pay more in local taxes until this board reduces the demand for tax revenues. Under this bill, owners of property classified as agriculture and are paying roughly 61% of the tax revenue for the county. Rural property owners are paying nearly 75%. And now, if this should pass, both will have to make substantial payments on the sales taxes of any purchases they make within the county that are subject to sales tax. And for me, an unfair tax is not cured by increasing the tax burden on the minority of individuals in the county. At the end of the fiscal year in 2017-18, the county reported cash assets of over $10.6 million. Less than $2 million were restricted to specific purposes, most of that for debt service. That left over $8.6 million of unrestricted funds that I assume was rolled over into the next year's budget. My question is, how much did the county have at the end of this fiscal year that is being rolled over into this year's budget that could have been applied against the judgment without the necessity of having to raise more taxes on local residents? The other concerns that I have are whether or not the county has been assured that it can refuse, neglect, or fail to enact this provision without finding themselves becoming personally liable for the balance of the unpaid judgment. And whether or not you have also been assured that the sales tax will not, in the aggregate, exceed the constitutional limitation placed on the county for the assessment of taxes, and that it is not a local or special law or violating any other constitutional provision. So I hope that you will give some serious consideration about whether or not it's really necessary to increase the taxes on local households at a time when many of them are working two and three jobs right now to try and meet their tax burdens, and local businesses are failing. Thank you for allowing me this opportunity to speak.
Thank you, Mr. Lauby. In response to a couple of those, the legislature does have people that go through and check everything prior to a bill going through. They check, double check, triple check. So everything was in order on this bill prior to. Any dollar that is left over at the end of a budget year, it does roll over to the next year. The money isn't you aren't retaxed for that. Those are the way the LID limit works. Those dollars do roll back into the next budget. If we did expel every dollar that was in the budget, that money would have to be brought in, and we would have to raise taxes additionally. Right now, this year, the county asking will be down 1.98% for the year compared to last year's tax asking, primarily because of a $60 million deduction in total assessment throughout the county. So when we've looked at this, we have looked at every option. We'll continue to look at every option. This isn't an ending point. When the state's giving us tools to try to work with this, trying to do our due diligence, I think it's important for us to try to work with the tools we are given from the state and then continue building relationships with legislators and other members of the unicameral, trying to form some type of relief for the county. At the same time, we may not want to raise taxes. I know none of us do. I don't think any of us want to raise tax on anything. I mean, even bringing up our property tax to the level of inflation is difficult at times. We don't want to do that. We have to look at a judgment that needs paid. We're not on the decision committee whether we should or should not pay the judgment. We're on the how to fund it committee. And we're trying to find ways to fund this as best as possible. Also trying to take some of the burden off of the landowner when we have 26,000 people throughout the county and the majority of this is being paid by approximately 2,000 people. We have to spread that load. I don't want to pay more in sales tax. I'm not a landowner per se. I do buy a lot of stuff. I bought a lot of equipment, a lot of product. I'll be paying a lot on sales tax, but that also helps spread that burden over a larger group of people. And I think we need to look at the whole, not just ourselves or not just the individual. We have to look at the county as a whole and the overall health of the county, both currently and in the future, because if we look at right now and we don't look down the road, we're going to hurt ourselves even more. We have to look at the overall economic health of the county.
Yes, certainly it is a 0.5% sales tax that, you know, we're not eager to put it in place, but when you look at it, Marysville, Kansas has 8.1% sales tax. And you go down there and buy food, you're paying it on food. You go to Lincoln to South Point, you're paying 8% sales tax. And anything that's food or entertainment has another 2% sales tax on top of it, so you're paying a 10% total on anything that's considered entertainment in Lincoln. So it isn't going to be putting us higher than everybody else. I mean, it's going to basically put us where it is, and it will help get this judgment paid off sooner.
Mr. Juergens?
Just a comment, you know, as far as the burden that this puts on everyone, you know, the farm community, every segment out there right now is struggling. The only good thing I can say about this tax, looking at it from the farm side, is repairs right now are exempt from sales tax.
any farm repair on equipment or anything like that. Not new purchases, just farm repairs are exempt from the state sales tax, which would include this. So that extra burden that this will put on everybody will not be put on the backs of the farmers as far as just repairs only I'm talking about.
Anyone else from the public? Any other discussion from the board? This does require a two-thirds majority, or I guess they call it the supermajority, for this vote. So we will require at least five to pass. With no additional comment, I ask you to vote. 7 in favor, the motion carries. This will be resolution number 19-32. There will be a closed session now based on security.
Yes, I'm voted on.
Angie,
I don't like it.
Do you want to introduce Kristen to the board? Oh, we can do that too. Yeah. We'll do it formally then. It'll be all right.
He was supposed to be down last week.
Well, we can do it formally. Everybody's visiting already now. But. I do believe. You'll be quicker than Tom.
I missed you girls down at Beatrice Big last night. I missed you at Beatrice Big last night. I didn't see you down there.
Thank you.
I was there for half an hour and followed.
Pictures of that.
I did get it right quick. No, I saw you standing at the back of the hall.
We'll go on to.
I don't think anybody else.
I'd ask for a motion to go into closed session at 9:48 on the clock.
No, I didn't get in during the lunch hour for some reason.
We have a motion by.
I can tell you.
We have a motion by Lytle.
Second.
Second by Bauman to go into closed session at 9:48 on the clock. Vote. 7 in favor, we're in closed session. I'm out of closed set.
I know. I got to get it on the recorder. Okay, go.
Ask for a motion to come out of closed session at 10:12 on the clock.
Second.
Moved by Byers, second by Bauman. Vote. 7 in favor, we are in open session.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Dorn to adjourn. Vote. 6 in favor with Bauman voting nay. We are adjourned at 10:13 on the clock.